readers, writers, and plot enthusiasts. I'm Ella.
And I'm Ellie. Welcome to our podcast, The Plot Thickens, where we talk about all things books, writing, and storylines.
Grab your favorite tea and settle in to listen every other week wherever you get your podcasts.
For the stories and the friends that shape us.
Hello, listeners. Thank you for joining us again. I'm Ella.
And I'm Ellie.
Today, I am drinking elderberry blackberry tea. It has some bitter notes with a sweet tang of honey from my home state.
And I am also drinking tea with honey from my home state. And it's juniper mint honey tea that I actually stole from Ella. And it's really good.
It is good. I can attest. I gave it to her. Mm-hmm. So today, we are talking about The Heirs of Neverland, part two. Mm-hmm. We're going to be talking about theme and how this duology demonstrates theme. However, because we're going to be talking about a lot of plot elements and important things that happen in the book, I do want to give a disclaimer that we are going to spoil book elements. So if you haven't read it, you should go read it and then come back and join us.
And if you have read it, prepare yourself, because maybe grab a notepad, because you're going to want to take notes on this, because there's so much you can learn from this book that you can apply to your own writing too, which is amazing.
It's true. It is an awesome book. So first, we're going to talk about what makes a theme and why is a theme important.
Yes. Okay, so I got a lot of my content about this from K.M. Weiland's book, Writing Your Story's Theme, The Writer's Guide to Plotting Stories That Matter, which I highly recommend. Incredible book. And it really opened my eyes to just like the importance of theme when telling a story. Because the theme is really different than the story's message. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not just like something the story is explicitly saying, but this deeper thing that like almost like relates to all of life. Like a good theme is pretty universal. It's not explicitly stated, but it's something that kind of plays itself out in the plot, the characters, the setting even. And it's one of the big three elements that really makes your story like come to life. For me, if a book has a good theme, that's what makes the book memorable, and that's what makes a story that matters. So as a writer, I feel like theme is really important, because if you don't have a key theme, then even if your plot is really good, even if your characters are really well developed, then it's kind of almost a little bit pointless. And I feel like something else that's really nice about theme is if a good theme ties the whole book together so well, really gives this unified presentation.
I also feel like theme is really important for drawing your readers in to something more than just entertainment, because you can have an entertaining plot and characters that someone will enjoy and read, and then they will leave your book and they will forget about it and probably never pick up again. They've enjoyed it. It's not a bad book, but they're not going to reread it or think about it beyond what they've already read, because it's just plot and characters. It's an experience and it's an entertainment, but it's nothing more than that.
Yeah, the theme really is crucial for that. And theme plays itself out in so many different ways. Like, even the plot can play a huge role in the theme by being, like, the external demonstration of what theme is.
Yes, I really like the plot of these books. I think it does a good job of showing, like, the theme and the characters and just the transition. I also love a good sibling bond.
Yes.
So I really like that in this book. It has a very complex sibling bond.
Yes.
So the whole book kind of starts off with Claire looking for her brother, who's been missing. Mm-hmm. And so she's going on this whole adventure to London looking for her brother, where she meets Peter, or Ben, as he's known then. And he is helping her look for her brother. Mm-hmm. And so the whole first book kind of centers around this. She's looking for her brother. Peter knows what happens to her brother and knows that it's kind of his fault and that Claire will blame him for it. So he's trying to help her while also helping himself, kind of. And then while being chased by pirates through London, which is something I didn't expect to see in a book, I'll admit. Yes. Never been chased through London by pirates, but
it was an adventure. It was so fun to read.
But it's really, like, satisfying to see, one, just the dramatic moments. Claire, kind of turning her back on Peter and being like, no, I'm going to go with these pirates now. And so that's kind of the end of the first book. And then the second book, if you thought the first book was something, the second book, don't plan anything for a couple hours, because you're not going to put it down.
Yeah.
And so you're going to need all your focus on this book. That book was crazy.
Mm-hmm. It is such a wild ride. And then you really get to, like, into the Neverland world building, which Ella is going to talk about in a few minutes, mm-hmm. and just, like, how Neverland works the way it is, the star, the mm-hmm. darkness. Oh, it's so cool. The whole book, well, maybe we should talk about, we feel like the theme of Neverland really is this, like, darkness versus light, and, like, which will triumph, which really plays itself out in the plot in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm. Because they kind of show the light as, they show the light through several things, because one, mm-hmm. the light is the star.
Yeah.
So the star at the heart of Neverland is, kind of the whole plot of the second book is it's trying to be overtaken by this mm-hmm. darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very literal sense of the theme, yeah. that this star is being overtaken by this darkness, and that's, like, the big central plot. Yeah. But even then, like, the subplots of Claire feeling like she's torn between this dark and light side in yeah. herself.
Yeah.
Peter, even, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
A little less obvious, maybe, than Claire, but still mm-hmm. kind of, like, torn between this light and dark side.
Yeah.
And then even other characters.
Tiger Lily?
Yeah. Kind of, like, trying to protect this light source.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, and kind of just everything falling apart and being, like, falling apart or being built around this star.
Yeah, yeah. It's so mm-hmm. true. I feel like that really does demonstrate so much of the theme. And also just kind of the way it's Peter's physical shadow that ends mm-hmm. up being the real villain.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
That is really cool. And the element of, like, I love when a character is so, like, active in the story, but even, like, before the story, as in, like, the character creating their own villain.
Yeah, yeah.
Is such a, like, interesting take. Because it's not like they're, like, Peter's not, like, the solely good character who's, like, yeah. just happened upon these bad things. He's the one who's created both villains, both in his sister
yeah.
and in Claire's brother.
Yeah.
They're both kind of, like, and even in Captain Hook, I'd say, they're yeah. all, like, villains that he's kind of created.
Yeah.
Which was a really interesting, like, twist on, like, the real mm-hmm. villain wasn't really, mm-hmm. it was them, but it was more because of his own actions, which was a really interesting take.
Mm-hmm. Which, how this kind of plays out in your writing is just thinking about, okay, how can the kind of metaphorical, not metaphorical, but you know what I mean, like, not concrete nature mm-hmm. of your theme be played out in some really concrete and even painful details sometimes, like, in the lives of your characters and in the plot itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I definitely yeah. agree.
And then another element that's really important for demonstrating theme, probably honestly the most important, I'd say, is characters.
Mm. Characters play such a huge role in theme. And what's fascinating to me about Kara Swanson's characters is that Claire is, like, the physical embodiment of the theme. So basically, and if you've read the book, you know this already, is that character has these power... Character. Claire! Claire has these powers where she has this fairy dust that's either golden and helps things flow, or it's dark and it's, like, burning things, I think, is the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fascinating because the physical war between light and darkness really happens between herself as she learns to, like, fight for light and fight for hope and fight for joy. And that leads to a physical outpouring of fairy dust, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's so beautiful. And then in Peter, it really plays itself out in, like, for Peter, it's not necessarily that he learns to fight for light, it's that he learns how much darkness was already in himself and that he can't run from it, I yeah. think.
And I think one thing is, part of the magic system of Neverland is, like, he forgets and he yeah. chooses to let himself forget
yeah.
because he doesn't want to remember all the pain and the hurt. And so I feel like part of his arc was more learning that, like, you have to face your fears and your pain and you have yeah. to remember it.
Yeah.
Because it's not... It wasn't, he thought he was a better person for forgetting all of that things, mm-hmm. but we see as, like, the story unfolds that it didn't make him a better person.
Yeah.
It made him a less, he never was bothered by it, but that's because yeah. he never thought of it. And everyone yeah. else around him, like, he was breaking this island apart.
Yeah.
Because he was choosing to forget these things and yeah. choosing to ignore it.
Basically, it's showing the darkness has consequences, really, and he couldn't mm-hmm. escape those consequences no matter how hard he tried.
Because I feel like that's where also they were, like, foils to themselves, because Claire kind of has the opposite. She's so afraid of hurting people.
Yeah.
Because she's so haunted by her memories of hurting yeah. people that she's too afraid to use her dust for light.
Yeah.
And whereas Peter's too afraid to remember.
Yeah.
That he never tries to be good.
Yeah. No, it's so true. Which is another interesting thing about theme is, like, how the characters interact with each other really shows, can demonstrate the theme. Like, because different characters can represent different aspects of the theme. Like, even, like, side characters can. So, like, take Captain Hook for an example. Captain Hook, I feel like, kind of foils Claire in the sense that he's also, well, in love with somebody who's, like, a part of the, like, the basically a bad guy, but he doesn't choose to fight for the light. He basically, like, chooses to go along with it, like, for her sake.
Mm-hmm. I think it kind of demonstrates, like, the sacrificial area, like, how to love someone sacrificially versus loving someone selfishly.
Yeah.
Whereas he did love her, but he loved her not enough to, like, sacrifice what he had with her for
her. Yeah. Yeah. No, and, like, he didn't love her enough to fight for the greater good, if that makes sense.
Or the good side of her, either.
Yeah. No, exactly. Just so cool. So, like, using your characters and your side characters to demonstrate that is it's amazing.
No, she really pulled even, like, characters that weren't, like, directly important to the plot, or, like, more minor characters. I forget the one guy's name, but Peter Pan's, like, right-hand man.
Toodles!
Yes! Toodles! I liked how even him was, like, so important to the plot, and how he kind of reflected that side of Peter that was, like, in the first book, I feel like he showed the very, like, good side of Peter, as in, like, he was Peter's friend, and you saw that Peter is a good friend, and he can be nice, but he also then reflected, like, the bad side of Peter, as in, like, he's not willing to change or remember his mistakes and learn from them until, like, consequences force him to. So.
Yeah, he'll catch up to him, which is really cool. And I feel like what's cool about both these characters, too, is Kara Swanson has put them in, like, a position where they're forced to experience the theme, if that makes sense, by the plot and, like, by their interactions with each other. Like what you said, like, Peter created his own villain.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, it's the characters that are driving this book, which is how it should be.
Yeah. No, it's a really good example of, like, a character-driven book.
Mm-hmm. No, I totally agree. Which
is always lovely.
Yes. There's so many more good elements about this book, too. So, Ella, why don't you talk to us about the setting of this book and how that shows the theme?
So, first off, I am a big fan of setting. I think setting is really important to a story. And I think it's often overlooked and almost used as, like, instead of being an interactive part of your story, I feel like a lot of authors use it almost like a green screen. As in, this is just the backdrop for me to tell this amazing story. And I think that's not a bad thing, but it's a missed opportunity. Because a setting can really do so much, one for your theme, but even your story as a whole. It plays such an important role. And in this one, it plays just a very physical and obvious role with the whole dark versus the light and the island. This island is broken in half. That's the setting, the backdrop of our story, is this brokenness that we see in the theme of broken people and the characters being broken themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And even, like, using Neverland and its history and, like, the whole... At first, you think Neverland is this wondrous place to escape, and then you realize why Peter and his sister created this.
Yeah.
And it wasn't meant to be this escape and selfish place. It was meant to be this, like, place to heal.
Yeah.
And fix the broken things.
Yeah.
And so, I feel like that was used in a very interesting way to kind of drive out that theme of healing and facing the past.
Mm-hmm.
And more than just escaping and running from it.
Mm-hmm.
I also really liked how setting, especially this setting, really cements the theme in your mind because you have such a physical picture of the theme that you're not, when you leave the story, that's like, I can still think of, like, the theme through the setting.
Yeah.
Because it's so concretely in my mind with how every detail pointed back to something in the story. Like, there was no wasted space or wasted backdrop. Mm-hmm. It was all interactive and interwoven into the plot and the characters and the story, which I think was a really unique take on things.
Yeah, and I really liked, like, throughout, Neverland is almost like a living character even in this story, which is really cool. Like, they talk about, like, Neverland breathing and Neverland being angry and, like, lashing out, which I think is a fascinating take on, like, the power of setting.
Yeah, no, that was a very interesting take. I loved how Yeah, it had this weird element of there is something bigger beyond their control,
yeah.
And that was their actions were having consequences beyond mm-hmm. their control because of it,
yeah,
which was really interesting, especially Peter,
yeah,
because obviously like his actions were breaking this island apart, mm-hmm. and it was making it very like it was just a very interesting mirror of that.
No, it really was. I totally agree.
But yeah, that was some of our favorite things that just show the theme and the importance of theme in the Heirs of Netherland. So I think that wraps up everything yeah. that we want to say on that. But it is one of our favorite books. We mm-hmm. highly recommend it. If you are looking for amazing duology that really will help you improve your writing, both in prose, characters, mm-hmm. but especially in theme.
Yes.
I would highly recommend this book. And there's a lot to learn from it and a lot to enjoy from it.
Yeah.
You can tune in next time, though, to hear us battle it out over our favorite childhood stories. I will be battling out on the side of the winning side mm-hmm. of Wind in the Willows. As everyone knows, it is the best children's book series. It's not a series, the children's book.
And I will be disagreeing by talking about the book that is actually a series or potentially a duology. It depends on how you look at it. Winnie the Pooh, because I feel like that book really brings out the essence of childhood.
Kind of sounds like yours lacks consistency, as my standalone novel, it didn't even need a second. It was so good on the first try.
It's because no one wanted a second Wind in the Willows.
No one needed it because they loved it so much you can just reread it. But we will save that for next time. Yes. Thank you for listening, guys. We hope you have a lovely day.
See you guys soon.